Support for Talking Art on WVIK comes from the people at Quad City Bank and Trust, helping the local community with their banking and financial needs for more than 20 years. Information is at qcbt.com.
This is Carolyn Martin, and I'm talking art today with Melanie Alexander, the director of the Muscatine Art Center, about their three exhibitions on display through April 12th, all featuring works by female artists. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, this year, 2020, marks the 100th anniversary of women finally securing the right to vote. And the Muscatine Art Center is celebrating that by putting on not one, but three shows. And what were your goals in organizing this?
It worked out nicely in that we had the watercolors of Tara Moorman already booked, and her exhibition is called Letters to My Ancestors. So we actually had that exhibition booked 2.5 years ago, and it was only maybe in the last year and a half that we were approached by some of the women who are involved in organizing events and programming around the 19th Amendment that said, hey, can the Muscatine Art Center do something in recognition of the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment? And we said, well, sure, let's think about it a little bit. And as a staff, we thought, well, what kind of artifacts do we have, photographs, any materials? We were thinking originally a history-based exhibition. And we just didn't have enough material to do an exhibition with only those materials in the large space that we have. So instead, we started thinking, you know, how can we feature, you know, Iowa women artists? And so that's how the exhibition Hard Won, Not Done, the Eastern Iowa Women Artist Invitational came about. So, and then the third exhibition is The Feminist To-Do List, and it's by an artist named Susan Lentz. And she actually contacted the Muscatine Art Center. She contacted me and said, you know, I have this traveling exhibition. Are you interested in hosting it? And I said, can I have it in 2020? And she said, yes. And I said, yes. So that's how we came to have three. And the timing worked beautifully for the three to just lined up at the same time.
Mm-hmm. They flow very well together.
Yeah.
And one of your goals in pulling these three exhibits together was really to create a gathering space for people, not just women, but people to come together and really reflect back on what has happened over the last century, the 100 years mm-hmm. since we have finally had the right to vote. The 19th Amendment was passed in 1919, but it was not ratified until 1920. So this really is the year that we're celebrating that accomplishment.
Yeah, that's right. So museums are among the public gathering places. And, you know, we did want to start a dialogue about, you know, what's happening for women artists. So not just looking at the history of, you know, what was going on 100 years ago when the 19th Amendment was passed, but sort of the contemporary issues and also, you know, how do women and well, men also connect to the past and sort of bring those past issues forward.
Mm-hmm. When you walk through the exhibits, the first one you pass is a very short, small one, but it's powerful, and I think it's funny. It's called The Feminist To-Do List, and it's by the artist Susan Lentz. She's a fiber artist who uses these vintage quilt blocks that look decidedly old-fashioned, mm-hmm. but on them she's embroidered very modern call-to-action quotes. So there's this humorous tongue-in-cheek pairing of these very demure images with very defiant or radical statements.
Yeah, that's right. There's 42 pieces in here, and so they are the Sunbonnet Sue quilt blocks, and they're on 10-inch wooden embroidery hoops, and then she has these sayings. So there's one like, achieve civil rights for every citizen, delegate responsibly, voice informed opinions, make the first move. So there's, you know, one of these Sue Bonnet quilt blocks with each of these sayings embroidered on them. So that's in our, we call that area the linkage. It's a connection between the historic house and the Stanley Gallery. So if you come in through our main entrance for the visitor, that's the first of the three exhibitions that you encounter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love some of them say resist patriarchy, and you have to look at them closely because they're embroidered, they look old-fashioned, mm-hmm. and unless you look closely at them, you could just walk right by and disregard them. The point is to challenge that assumption and to make you laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring the old into the modern era.
Yeah, yeah. And she is an artist out of South Carolina. So, we were thrilled to be able to host this exhibition. And I think it's one that visitors will enjoy reading the sayings or the usually sometimes it's just a couple words that are added on to these historic Sue Bonnet quilts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, your second exhibit on display is Letters to My Ancestors, The Watercolors of Tara Moorman. Describe this series of paintings.
So Tara Moorman, after her mother passed away, she discovered historic photos of her ancestors. And some of the historic photos go back to the 1880s. And in the more recent ones that are included in this exhibition are of Tara as a child herself. So she has taken, photos that would have been black and white or in sepia, and she's a watercolor artist. So she has kind of recreated these scenes in each of these photographs. And she also did a lot of kind of looking into her family tree, and she also created a very lovely booklet that goes along with it. And if you read her passages for each painting, she has had some sort of, statement about the people who are depicted in her watercolors. Or, this is what I think, my great-grandmother would have been saying in this moment when her photo was taken. And it's really, really interesting. To me, to have photos of your ancestors that go back that far is kind of a rare thing. I'd still sure be curious to want to know, what were these people's daily lives like? Were they satisfied with, their family arrangements, with, who they married, how their children were doing? And often there are sorrows, whether it's a loss of a child or something, and how did they react to that? So they're really, really powerful watercolor images. And it's just kind of it's not just a fascinating look at, one woman's ancestors, but if you kind of apply some of that to what was going on historically for, people in Iowa, the same as what was going on in her ancestors' life. So if I find that really interesting. Mm-hmm. Short of having these primary source materials of written letters or diary entries, I love that sort of stuff. The Muscatine Art Center is, it's a combination of a history-based museum and also an art museum. So we get to do both where I work, which is, why I love it. And to me, Tara's project is similar in that it's this connection between the fine arts and history, and really interesting.
Mm-hmm. One thing I really liked when I read in the mm-hmm. booklet about how she created this is that she had this stack of old photos, and then when she made her watercolors, she didn't just copy the mm-hmm. photograph. That she intentionally, perhaps, kept some part of the photograph out. She may have added something in. She tried to tell the story as best mm-hmm. she could from what she came to understand about her ancestors' lives, and really thought hard about who were they.
Right.
And as visitors to the Art Center, it causes us to think about that ourselves. Who are we?
Right.
As we're standing in that same space.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
What will future generations think about us? Will they capture our lives accurately or not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you think about some of the women that are depicted, you know, there, you might have a history of what some of the men did if they're documented in like a the biographies that were done for, you know, a county or, you know, more information in an obituary. But sometimes for the women, you know, they may have been the backbone for the family, but that doesn't mean that there's a large written trail of how they lived their lives, what they were involved in, what interests them. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting leap for in this case with Tara of taking her ancestors' photographs and then trying to, you know, I guess feel this connection to them and wonder, you know, what were they doing? What were they thinking? How did they feel?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the fact that men are more apt to have biographies written about them, and that's so true. I think one of the reasons why obituaries were written more often about men is they tended to be more often employed. You know, they mm-hmm. were they made advances in commerce. Mm-hmm. We didn't even have the right to vote until mm-hmm. 1920. So yeah. In essence, we weren't citizens. We weren't able to impact our future lives, impact any of the laws that governed us. We were, of course, less apt to be employed mm-hmm. and less written about us. And
yeah, yeah.
Certain, you know, major newspapers, the New York Times, I know for sure, is trying to go back in time and correct some of that. And they're reprinting obituaries from women who were kind of glossed over. Their lives weren't considered as important.
Yeah.
They were left out.
Yeah. She does have one ancestor that a lot of people will recognize this name. It's Carrie Nation. So she was called the Battle Axe Lady. She was Tara's great, great, great aunt. And she did a watercolor based on a photograph of Carrie Nation taken around 1898. So, and she was involved in the temperance movement. And so she was the one who was very much, you know, for prohibition and showing up with her axe. And actually, there was these sort of mother of pearl battle axe pins that women would wear at that time. So not all women's voices were lost to history. And this is one that was really an interesting example. And you know, it's I think the folks who are interested in the Hard Won Not Done exhibition will also be interested in the story of Carrie Nation.
Mm-hmm. You walk right by Tara Moorman's watercolors and go downstairs to the lower level of the Stanley Gallery to enter mm-hmm. the Hard Won Not Done exhibition. And that one really is quite extraordinary. It features work from women artists living in eastern Iowa, and there's an amazing assortment of quality work down there.
Yeah, yeah. So there's 24 women who are part of the exhibition, and it's a big range. So we formed a small committee who just sought out examples of work that were done by women in eastern Iowa. And we were looking for a good diversity, not just in the types of materials or medium that they were working in, but there are women who are on university faculties. There are women who are entirely self-taught. There are women who, you know, have a day job and make art on the side. There's, you know, a big range as far as ages as well. And also, there's a number of women. I think there are five women who were either born or spent a good portion of their lives somewhere other than in the United States. So there are women who have either grew up in another country and immigrated, and some who are still sort of back and forth between two countries. So there's a good mix, and it's also really visually interesting, and you know, just all types of materials. Mm-hmm.
It's quite varied, like you mentioned. And the colors are just pop out. There's also a lot of three-dimensional work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I really liked. Tell us a little bit about, for instance, Monica Leo and her puppet. Mm-hmm.
So Monica Leo, she, is a puppeteer, the person behind Eulenspiegel Puppet Theater in West Liberty. And so she also does woodblock printing, but she opted to include one of her puppets. And so she talks a little bit about growing up hearing fairy tales and being encouraged to just make all different types of materials, and this idea that, you know, in puppet theater, you can blend something that's physically crafted with, you know, stories. So she's one example. Let's see, there's also, you know, example of a wood turner who is in a field where it's mostly male dominated, and sort of her story of learning how to create wood vessels and feeling really empowered by the men who were part of that. So there's all different types of materials. So you got puppets, you've got this wood vessel. There's several, there's two artists who work in clay. The furniture, it's, you know, and then of course you've got your painting, watercolor, photography, textiles. So, yeah, big range.
Mm-hmm. There is a big range. The photography, there's mm-hmm. one, there's an artist that pairs her photography with these beautiful Mexican masks that made.
Yeah. So this is the photography of Miriam Alarcón Avila, and she immigrated, I think, Mexico. And there's a tradition of wrestling. So her project is using these masks that are used in wrestling and turning people who feel like maybe they can't come forward, they're afraid, if they're in maybe an undocumented situation, and putting on a mask and like a Latino Latina superhero and posing for a photograph. So her mask that she uses in her photography are on view as well as three photographs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I spent a lot of time in front of that one.
Yeah,
as I did in front of Rose Franzen's, and she has a triptych, three oil paintings hanging together, called, I think, In the Face of Illusion.
Yeah, yeah. And in Rose, in her statement, she talks about how, you know, when people go to museums or when they encounter art, they spend just like a fraction of a second, or, you know, it's a very short amount of time people actually spend looking at the artwork. And her illusions require that you stare at them for long enough so that you get this sort of after effect. So it's intended to take some time, you know, in front of each one of these.
Yeah, they are very, very complex.
Mm-hmm.
You have on the opposite wall, Cecile, is it Howell?
Howell, I think.
Howell, who also paints in oil, mm-hmm. and she has a portrait of the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, yeah. So that's one of hers in the series of the Nobel Peace Prize winners. And, you know, that's another interesting sort of, there's a whole other series, which has been one of the great things about working on this exhibition is for the staff at the Muscatine Art Center, I felt like, you know, we've really developed such richer connections with the artists, women artists in Eastern Iowa, and to see, wow, you know, there's a whole body of work that's, you know, focused on this particular issue. And, you know, I mean, same thing happened with Rose is like, oh, yeah, and I have this and I have that. And you want to host it all.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of the unexpected surprises you had, really, that you were able to develop deeper relationships with the women living very close to Muscatine.
Right, right. And I think it's, you know, a chance for future partnerships and exhibitions, programming is wonderful. Maybe you don't often think, oh, wow, there's so many artists who are producing in Eastern Iowa, but boy, for our group that worked on coming up with, two dozen women, it was really hard because we found other artists that we would have loved to have included, but it just wasn't possible mm-hmm. because of space. So, not just for the women who are included in this exhibition, but we also just discovered some that were doing really interesting things that, whether they couldn't participate for one reason or another, or we just weren't able to offer an invitation at that time. I think it's exciting to see all the different things that are happening in the arts in Iowa. Mm-hmm.
I personally am excited also about the two panel discussions coming up, and they will be held on Sunday, February 9th. So this coming Sunday, and also on Thursday, March 26th. Then let's briefly review which artists will be participating in each session.
So February 9th on Sunday, that panel discussion is from 1:30 to 3, and it's at the Muscatine Art Center. So Miriam Alarcón-Avilla is one of the artists, Cecile Huel, Nancy Purrington, and Kristen Quinn. So we've talked about two of those. Nancy Purrington is an artist. Her work is represented in the Art Center's collection already because she focuses on the Mississippi River. And we have a large collection that pertains to the Mississippi River. So as we were developing the concept for this invitational exhibition, Nancy was actually one of the artists that we consulted with and said, how does this feel? If you were going to be participating in this, what would, be of interest? And so she did help giving some feedback early on when we developed this concept. Kristen Quinn is another artist, here in the Quad Cities. So they are our four panelists on February 9th. And then Thursday, March 26th from 5:30 to 6:30 is the second panel discussion. So let's see, we've talked about Rose Franson and Monica Leo. There's three more artists who are part of that discussion, Jean Barry, Elizabeth Shriver, and Joe Myers Walker. And Jean Barry, when was
she was the oldest artist
yeah,
you had in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I was trying to remember.
Born
the
in
years.
1938.
There you go. Yeah,
I saw. So that was really powerful to me that she was that age.
Mm-hmm.
And hers is entitled Me Too. But instead of Me Too exclamation mark, like Me Too is a statement, it was Me Too question mark.
Right, right.
Which made me think, Me Too, am I being included or am I being excluded again?
Yeah.
It was
she's an African American artist too, and I'm really interested to hear what she has to say too. I think it'll be really, really interesting. And Elizabeth Shriver, she works in clay and some wonderful organic looking vessels, and it's all there's no wheel involved with these. These are hand built with different types of methods, so that'll be interesting. And then Joe Myers Walker, there are actually three pieces of hers that are part of that, and two of them are works on paper, and the other one is actually constructed out of paper, but it's a sculpture. So they're really an interesting combination, too. So as we were planning this exhibition, we were looking for artists who were from, more rural areas of Iowa, as in addition to, the usual suspects like Iowa City and the Quad Cities. And so there's a big mix of, geographic location within Eastern Iowa as mm-hmm. well. So
it's very representative. And I think that inclusiveness is really important when we're talking about art museums as a place for social commentary and social reflection. Mm-hmm. We need everybody's voices to be heard. And that's one reason why I'm really excited about these panel discussions that you're having, because you'll get to hear what each of those artists, those very accomplished artists, have to say about mm-hmm. about how they made their career,
yeah.
how they were able to carve time out for it, and where they plan to go in
yeah,
the future.
Yeah, and you see that in some of their statements where they're struggling a little bit with, I was told growing up I'd be able to have it all, and I don't know if I can really, you know, now as an adult I see that's not really possible. So there's those struggles, and then there's also comments about, you know, interruptions in a career to raise a family, or trying to balance family obligations and childcare, those types of things, some very practical things. So, yeah, it's within these panel discussions, I hope to talk about not just the inspirations, the things that interest them, the struggles they've had, but, where they think they're going next, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are many other organizations throughout Iowa and Illinois celebrating this 100th year mm-hmm. anniversary of women having the right to vote. And in our community, I was happy to hear that the German American Heritage Center is having an art exhibit, as is the Putnam. And on the Illinois side of the Quad Cities, Quad City Arts, yeah. this fall will be having a show featuring several women artists. Is there a centralized registry that people can use to find out what's going on in their area?
Yeah. So there is a website for Iowa. It's 19thAmendmentCentennial.org. And that's where you can find a listing of all the events that are going on across the state of Iowa, whether it's exhibitions, things like our panel discussions or receptions. There's also lots of book discussions or book groups that are getting together. And there's some exciting things happening, too. There's a Muscatine resident, Sue Johansson, who's developed a curriculum to the 19th Amendment that will go out to local schools. So that's really exciting and interesting. And then there's a book that's in the works on Iowa's League of Women Voters. So there's lots of interesting things. So lots of ways to get engaged around this. We'll have in addition to the two panel discussions, there's also a reception at the Muscatine Arts Center on Sunday, April 5th from 1:30 to 3:00. And we're hoping many of the artists from the Hard Won Not Done invitation will be there. There'll be one of the artists will give a demonstration that afternoon as well. And then on Thursday, April 9th from 5:30 to 6:30, we're having our Booked on Art, which is the Muscatine Art Center's book club. Our selection for April is Broad Strokes, 15 Women Who Made Art and Made History in That Order. So we're going to be talking about that book on April 9th from 5:30 to 6:30. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of ways to participate throughout the state of Iowa. And you would have no problem filling your entire social calendar going to these events.
Great. Well, Melanie Alexander, thank you so much for talking today.
Thanks for having me.
The Muscatine Arts Center is celebrating the 100th anniversary of women securing their right to vote with three exhibits, Hard Won, Not Done, Letters to My Ancestors, The Watercolors of Tara Moorman, and The Feminist To-Do List by Susan Lenz, up through April 12th. Two panel discussions will also be held, the first this Sunday, February 9th at 1:30 p.m., and also on Thursday, March 26th at 5:30 p.m. The Muscatine Arts Center is free of charge, and more information can be obtained online at muscatineartcenter.org. This has been Carolyn Martin, talking art in the Quad Cities, for WVIK. Our theme music is provided by a Quad City legend, the late Ellis Kell.